With the dramatic rise in confirmed cases of COVID-19 infections in the country, so do we find a dramatic rise in fake news claiming certain illnesses are linked to the pandemic. The latest is that the wearing of masks can cause hypercapnia and lead to viruses traveling into the brain. We discussed the fake and other news around the pandemic with the Institute for Communicable Diseases, Professor Lucille Bloomberg. Professor Bloomberg, thank you so much for your time. Good morning and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
What's the story with the mask? There's all of these messages floating around on social media that it can lead to hypercapnia, that you're breathing in your own carbon dioxide, and that overall using it for prolonged periods of time is not healthy. What does the science tell us?
Well, cloth masks are important to use for community members. Surgical masks, other medical masks need to be reserved for medical people. And it's important that they're worn properly, they're taken off and stored properly, and that the appropriate materials are used. So what is their value? Well, if you look at the way COVID-19 is transmitted, it's transmitted when people cough or speak or sing or shout, and they expel these droplets, and the droplets contain the virus. If you're wearing a cloth mask and you're infected, we do have people with minimal symptoms who aren't always aware. It will reduce the number of droplets reaching anybody else. So they do have value. I protect you, you protect me. That's really the mantra for cloth masks.
Is there any side effects? Are there any health consequences to wearing a mask for lengthy periods of time?
So I think the recommendations are that you use the right material, that it's comfortable. It's generally not something like T-shirt material, which probably provides less protection. Have a little give in them. They don't completely cover your nose and mouth. There's always a little room on the side, even if they're well-fitting. And you're not going to get the build-up of carbon dioxide, and you absolutely will get the movement of oxygen. So I think it's about, a well-made mask, three layers. It's well cared for, needs to be washed and put in the sun and ironed after use. I think 4 to 6 hours is perhaps the maximum. You're not going to wear it for 24 hours. But they really are very important in reducing transmission during the COVID outbreak, when people can't self-distance in taxis and shops and other settings.
One of our listeners sends a question in on the WhatsApp line saying that some people find the mask uncomfortable to wear for lengthy periods of time. They prefer the shield. Is that adequate?
So the shields are very good. I have seen both masks and shields being worn incorrectly. The shields are pushed up. And people touch the inside and the outside. So the shields do offer protection. Many people prefer the masks. I think it's a preference or how you can access. I think the masks are much easier, much more available and accessible to people. But one can do either. One can also do both after using some extra protection. It takes a little bit of getting used to and get a well-fitting mask that you're happy with.
Hmm. Now, another question that comes up quite often is that if I'm wearing a mask, why do I still need to social distance? Is that not adequate protection? If I go to a store, why do I have to stand 1.5 meters apart in the queue? Or if I go to a religious gathering, why do we have to stand 1.5 meters apart whilst praying? If everyone there is wearing a mask, why do you still need to social distance?
So then they're not the same as medical masks, and they're not 100% protective, but they significantly can reduce transmission. And what the cloth masks don't do is they don't provide the protection is against people, is from people who are infected, and stopping reduction of infected droplets from them. The user, for them, it's much less protection. So that social distancing, washing of hands, cleaning of services, all part of an important package. So if somebody in your area is infected in that space and you're wearing a cloth mask, it doesn't offer you 100% protection. the droplets from the infected person going out. So it's a package. You must really do it all. And social distancing is incredibly important. I know it's social gatherings, it's really quite difficult, but it's critical to observe to follow with all the protective interventions.
Is there any further research now in terms of whether this virus spreads via the air, the aerosol transmission? Initially, there seem to have been suggestions that it's only if your hands come into direct contact with it on a surface, and then you end up putting it into your eyes or into your mouth, or if somebody coughs directly or sneezes directly onto your face. What's the latest research telling us?
There isn't conclusive evidence about aerosol, and it's unlikely. It really is, the main spread is droplets, and if there's an aerosol producing process, like, you know, in a hospital where you're suctioning a patient, then the person who is in the immediate vicinity should wear a very different mask that can be effective in that setting. But for the general population, aerosol and walking around and someone speaking or perhaps coughing, it's droplet spread that is key. So I think, you know, there's going to be lots more discussions about aerosol, but that would not be considered the significant transmission. The other thing about masks, one must remember, is it stops you, well, to some extent, touching your nose and mouth with your hands that could have touched a contaminated surface. So that would also be an important protective mechanism.
Another interesting stat that has come under focus recently is that many more men are dying from the virus in South Africa and globally as compared to women, although women do contract the virus in significant numbers. Any indication thus far as to why that would be?
So it's probably related to the receptors. Receptors on various organs, but particularly the lung tissue, where the virus binds and then enters the cell. And then men, probably for hormonal reasons, have an increased number of these virus receptors. That is the likely association. But you're absolutely right. Men do predominate in the numbers released for deaths from COVID.
The other issue is that of kids, right? Now with kids going back to school, there's a big debate. There are those who are saying, you know, children are at risk, significant risk. Others are saying that the children are not a high-risk category. Of course, if they come back home and get into contact with elderly people, how do you assess them? What's the risk assessment when it comes to children?
So that is correct. You know, we do collect data on most hospitalized patients in South Africa with COVID. We look at severity of illness, we look at who's died, and there are very, very, very few children represented there. So they are not likely to be a major source or at the receiving end of severe viral infections. One also has to just look at, you know, some children do have comorbidities. I think asthma would be one of them, diabetes. I think, you know, a little more caution there. But for the average healthy child, I think school is very important. Good infection prevention control measures that are appropriate for them. And I think we're not seeing that as children as a major risk, either as sources or for severe disease. I think that is correct.
Do the stats tell us that more people under the age of 60 are dying as compared to what was initially expected? And if that is the case, what would be the reason?
So I think there are a number of issues one needs to look at. So age is definitely a risk, and those over 60 and those going up the age ladder, definitely an increased risk of severe COVID and death. The second major issue is comorbidity. Those with asthma, with chronic respiratory disease, those with metabolic problems, for example, diabetes, those who currently have cancer, those who are on immunosuppressives, hypertension, obese, especially morbidly obese people, definitely have an increased risk of complications and a risk of an increased risk of dying from COVID. So that may apply as well to those under 60. And I think that's a very important issue, because those are the people who need to protect themselves, who need to absolutely ensure that they socially distance, and are definitely the risk category.
Finally, Dr. Lundberg, I just want to come back to a previous question, that if there is no scientific conclusion about the virus spreading through the air, the aerosol transmission, as some refer to it, then how would we respond to the argument of those who say that if I've got the mask, sure, some droplets can come out from the sides, but do people really then need to stand 1.5 meters apart? How realistic a chance is there that those droplets emerging from the sides would actually go directly into a person's nose or mouth if both of us have masks?
No, I think masks do provide some protection to the wearer. The reason for the masks is to stop those droplets coming from the person who's infected and may not, they don't know that they are. We do have asymptomatic infected people. So I think masks are very important. They are compulsory here in a public space. And I think they, as part of a package of, as we mentioned, social distancing, washing of hands frequently, cleaning of surfaces, are critical to reducing transmission and risks of contracting COVID-19.
All right, Dr. Lucille Bloomberg, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Dr. Lucille Bloomberg from the Institute for Communicable Diseases talking to us about some of the fake news and fake theories about COVID-19 that floats around. Give us a good perspective there on why wearing a mask is not harmful to your health, and why, even if you have a mask on, it's still important to social distance.